This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Julia Show Hour 3 for your Monday on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. On the road we are tomorrow. It's a Santa stop. We do them every year at Chad Hessen Dinner Theater. We'll be out there from 3 to 6 doing the show. And if you can bring by an unwrapped gift for the Ronald McDonald House, we would greatly appreciate that. It's the first of 3 Santa stops that we are doing. We're also going to be at MOA. That's going to be fun. That'll be a lot of people there. And then our third one will be at Envision in the Galleria.
Nice.
I love it.
Nice.
We've got 3 fun spots. Yeah. I'm excited.
And so we expect all of our Chan, Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, the west side of town, people to
come stop and see us. We'd love it.
I've already invited people. You know, let's have drinks in the pub.
Yeah, afterwards. Yeah. It's so fun.
Okay, this cannot be good for John Travolta, okay? Donnie posted this like maybe a month ago, and that was the Gotti trailer about the mobster, John Gotti, and John Travolta's playing the big boss man, and his wife, Kelly Preston, is finally acting and playing his wife,
yes,
John Gotti's wife. Yep. Okay, this movie has had 4 titles, 4 directors, 37 producers, and Dapper Dunn, John Gotti, most recently was the third time it was going to be released. It was going to be released in December for Christmas.
Mm-hmm, December 15th.
That's right. Julia has now been pushed to next year because at one time, the cast was Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Lindsay Lohan. Okay, that's how long this thing has been going around. The director originally was Barry Levinson, then Joe Johnston, then Nick Cassavetes, and now Kevin Connolly
from Entourage,
who played, you know, the manager, the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a dink
in real life.
No, that's not Turtle. He played, I just can't think of his name, but he sort of was... the Adrian Grenier's, he was like his manager.
Oh, okay.
He acted as the manager. He is the director.
I don't
get
it.
Going down the list quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, this isn't good.
It isn't because every time a director gets their hand on it, they start cutting and snipping and reshaping the story.
Oh,
and the
dear.
Story is just the story. I mean, it's you know, I mean, how many ways can you tell? You know, he get just like Al Capone, he didn't go down for all the people he killed.
Nope.
He went down for tax.
Let me just tell you
fraud.
Let me just tell you what he has directed, okay?
Kevin Connolly.
Yeah. Gotti. Dear Eleanor in 2016. That was 2 teenage girls travel across the United States in 1962.
I actually heard about that movie.
And he got a good rating for that. And then before
he played Eric in Entourage. That was driving
me
crazy.
And then before that, Laurie, he did one 30 for 30 in 2013. He did The Unknown in 2012. He did 2 episodes of Entourage, 2010 and 11. So he's really new.
Well, he's 43 and he's been acting, you know, for a long time. I mean, he's best known for Entourage, but he was in
Pitch. We like Pitch. He was in that TV show Pitch.
Yeah, he was. He played the dink owner of the team. He was in a 1990s, he played the oldest son in Unhappily Ever After, if you guys remember that sitcom.
No.
No. So anyway, but he's just been acting since he was like a, you know.
Yeah, he was in Rocky V.
I know.
Yeah, all right. Well, that isn't good.
But I do think that John Travolta's wig game is on point in Gotti.
Yeah, but how come it goes through so many different directors?
Maybe it isn't very good.
Yeah. That's always my...
Can you just drop out if you decide
and
this
isn't good?
And how
about who is Lindsay Lohan going to play? Was she going to play John Gotti's daughter?
Who even knows?
Couldn't be the wife. That would be ridiculous.
But the daughter, Victoria, who showed up in Ma, but she's like 20 years older than Lindsay. But Lindsay Lohan is for so long... looked like a 40-year-old Long Island lady.
That it, you think she could pull it off?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I really...
Because she just sort of...
That is so many different directors.
Yeah. All right, how about this one? The widow of the National Enquirer's founder may have more shocking tales to tell. Lois Pope, whose second husband was Gene Pope Jr., the guy who came up with the super tabloid genre, and the National Enquirer is the best of those. She's writing a memoir. Right. And her first husband was an agent for William Morris. His name was George Wood, and some of her first husband's clients were Frank Sinatra. You know she's got stories.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know she does.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Check.
Natalie Wood. Maybe she knows what happened that night.
Oh, she might.
Did RJ and Christopher Walken, were they having carnal knowledge of each other?
We've seen her. We know this lady.
Marlene Dietrich was also one of her husband's clients, and Rita Hayworth. And after her William Morris agent husband, George Wood, what a solid name.
That really is.
After he died, she married Gene Pope, who introduced her to a bunch of younger Hollywood stars and a bunch of mobbed up people that might have had legitimate movie interests, i.e. money laundering from the casinos right through some Hollywood movies. And so they had all kinds of friends. Bob Hope and Phyllis Diller, Rock Hudson.
Well, here is something interesting.
Okay, Raquel Welch, Jack Jones, Dolly Parton.
Here's Lois Pope. She wrote this article September 8th, 2017.
All right.
And it says, she says why I am no longer hosting my charities event at Mar-a-Lago. She was on the Mar-a-Lago. Pope, a former membership chairwoman at Mar-a-Lago, is a philanthropist and the founder at the Lois Pope Life Foundation. Mm-hmm. In the 241 years since America's founding, millions of citizens, all religion, but she canceled it, saying, knowing about blah, 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 this decision, therefore I recommend to my board that we move this year's 24th annual Lady in Red Gala on December 2nd somewhere else where... people of all persuasions are allowed.
Are welcome.
Yep. Yeah. I'm a child of the Depression, came of age during World War II.
Good for her.
Yeah. I cannot stand idly by. I cannot be silent. I cannot let the intolerant be tolerated. Mm-hmm. I want my family and all American families to know that speaking up and rising up to hatred and discrimination is in all forms.
I mean, there is just so much. Oh, it's terrible what's happening. It comes from the very top of the land. So that's why, you know, she took it away from Mar-a-Lago because she's, I feel like, you know, she's got... all kinds of stories. I bet she's got political. I bet she's got mob. I bet she's got Hollywood. She's probably got showmances. And Julia, Natalie Wood, maybe she knows what really happened or what the rumor was. And, of course, the best rumor is the rumor that R.J. Wagner and Christopher Walken were having carnal love. And Natalie Wood...
Honest to Pete, Lori.
Wood will not let this go.
Screamed and ran and was drinking and hit her head and tumbled over into the water.
Oh, for crying out loud. This is...
Julia.
Besides Scientology, this is the other thing. This is the other thread.
Get right. And, you know, she is in endless court battles.
With her son.
Well, it's her...
Stepson.
Stepson, Paul Pope.
Right.
And it is always a tricky thing... You know, especially if the kids are older.
When your dad remarries and leaves everything to the...
Or mom, and they...
Leave everything to the new spouse. I don't think that's right.
I don't know he didn't leave everything, I don't think. I think it's just they're fighting over,
money, money, money.
Yeah, just money. Mm-hmm. Maybe she got a piece of property that he grew up... You know what I mean? It can be really, like...
Right.
Anyway, I am ready for this book to happen. I'm ready to investigate Lois Pope for a vintage scandal.
I am too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
Okay, Carol Burnett, she's making the rounds. Get ready to see her on talk shows because she returned to stage 33 at CBS to tape a special that is going to be airing this Sunday night for 2 hours, the 50th anniversary of the Carol Burnett Show.
I can't wait.
And so she did some live stuff.
Yeah.
We don't have any audio, but she was on with Kelly and Ryan, and she ran out to Hey Ya and high-fiving everybody. Nice. It was so cute. People, I mean, she's just so great. And, you know, she told the story about how she had this contract with CBS that it was unheard of, but that if they didn't want to offer her a sitcom, that she had the opportunity to do 31-hour comedy variety. It was sort of like just written in, and she'd passed on a sitcom, so she made them fire on the variety show.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, how did your agent get this in the contract?
Right.
How did our legal approve it? And they just said to her, comedy shows are run by men, not for women.
Right.
They didn't think she'd ever do anything. But it didn't matter.
Yeah. She had it in her contract, and she had a 28-piece orchestra, and she just said...
That was the funniest show.
Yeah, she told Kelly and Ryan, she said, they never learned. All of us did our own stunts. We never had anyone teach us how to do stunts. And I think why people thought we were so fun and why it's still fun to watch is we were never topical.
Right.
We were always just trying to go for the funniest laughs possible.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really get involved with anything that was happening.
Heavy.
Well, not that it was heavy, but just anything that was of the topic of the time. So that show seems timeless.
Sure.
Because of the skits. Everybody goes to the dentist office. Everybody has crazy family. You know, they did it all. So anyway,
I like that.
It was, and she's got a great interview with the Los Angeles Times and 50 years later. So it's going to be great. You're going to want to
Kevin
DVR
Spacey it. Was cut from that.
Yes. They had to edit him out. Yeah. It just doesn't look good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Especially who knows what his joke was. You know, he might have been, it could, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, he probably would have been doing impressions.
He would have been doing.
Still, it could have come off like super. Yeah, who knows what it is now in hindsight with everything. So, but Amy Poehler, all kinds of people, and they're going to be showing clips. But she just seemed giddy that it's happening.
Oh, how fun.
And that they got to go back and tape a live
show.
Beginning and end of the show. So, and again, that Sunday night on CBS. We'll be right back with the Dirt Alert.
My Talk 107.1. Everything.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Entertainment. Yeah.
This is a My Talk.
This is the darkest I've ever had it.
All right, Elizabeth Reese is here, and we know that the dirt today is love dirt, because love is in the air.
It certainly is, and it's across the pond and back and forth and oh so wonderful. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are engaged, and it is the biggest story that is all over the place today. Okay, so we knew that they were engaged. We knew that they were getting ready to talk about it.
We did not know. It was rumored. They got it all wrong. They said they got engaged in Botswana in August. We just found out they got engaged over roast chicken in the cottage.
A few weeks ago at their cottage in Kensington Palace, Meghan told the BBC that it was a cozy night. They were roasting chicken. You know, Ina Garten, who is the Barefoot Contessa, who is a very famous chef, she has this roast chicken recipe that she has said for years is the proposal roast chicken. She has many, many women in her life who have made this roast chicken for their beloved, and then a proposal comes shortly after. So if you're looking for someone to pop the question, you might want to look up Ina Garten's roast chicken recipe, and you might find yourself in a Meghan Markle situation.
And Julie and I were saying that they would... Being that he's he can't go to a restaurant. They can't go to a club.
No,
they can't have a big party. They'd go shop to the local market and get fresh food.
Right,
and
but I mean, they are on this 60-acre palace.
Yep.
They're being cozy. They're getting to know each other.
It's very sweet. Harry said it was a really nice moment. It was just the two of them, and she was surprised, and she said that she couldn't even let him finish what he was saying before she said, can I say yes now?
Yes.
The couple also revealed that Meghan has met Queen Elizabeth a couple of times, and that in particular, the corgis really loved Meghan.
That was so sweet.
We'll play that. Maybe we'll play that audio at the end of the show.
How about the fact that they've never been more than 2 weeks apart, that they were both stealth sneaking into lunch.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
In Toronto or wherever.
It's the key, too.
And I mean, he's able to because he's got money and he can fly private.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of the money, that's an interesting little tidbit that people have been talking a lot about. Okay. What are their combined fortunes worth? So that's what the Daily Mail is reporting on. Harry has a $53 million personal fortune.
Is the actress from Suits? What is she?
She's worth £4 million. Which means about
$6 million?
$6 million.
Right. Yeah. So she got a good number with that. That's good money to have by the time you're 37.
I would agree. She's 36, he's 33. And this is kind of interesting too, because you know, we know her from Suits, but there are all sorts of other things that she's been in. I thought I'd just run through a few of them that might sound familiar. So she was on CSI New York. She did one episode. Everybody. She was a Deal or No Deal briefcase model.
I love it.
From 2006 to 2007.
Remember that show?
Yeah, I know. That was a fun show.
It was a fun show.
Meghan Markle. She was a briefcase model, and she is pictured here with briefcase number 24 that I'm looking at, and she just looks oh so darling. She also was in the 90210 reboot, the 2008 pilot of
it. We watched it.
Okay, she was Wendy.
We watched it because that's how we got to know that. I watched it just I'm still watching Dynasty. Oh, God.
I'm four
on
behind
the CW.
On that one.
Oh, I just can't stop watching it.
Is it horrible?
No, I love it. It's so bad. It's good.
You and the CW. She was on Fringe and Fox, Fox, The League. She did an episode of, let's see, she was in Horrible Bosses. She played a pretty delivery woman.
Yeah. She was just like, I had a good, steady acting gig till she got cast on Suits, and that was, I bet, the press people on Suits should be sending themselves bouquet.
I know.
Well, because that show has never had this much press.
But she was such a good character.
And she's in a wedding scene, apparently.
In a wedding scene. She was supposed to get married to Mike Ross.
On the show?
On the show 2 years ago, but because Mike had to go to prison shenanigans, their wedding got called off, but now they are getting remarried.
Why are we seeing photos of her
because
in a wedding
dress? Getting remarried this season.
Oh, so we'll get to see it.
Again, brilliant rewriting on the cast.
Yeah, that's really smart. Okay, so how did these two meet? They revealed that they were set up on a blind date last summer, and they really knew very little about each other.
Lori thinks she knows.
Okay, we listened to the audio. A mutual female friend who they don't want to...
They want to
give
private.
Her privacy. I think it's Serena Williams.
Do you love that Lori thinks it's Serena?
I do, because she knows both of them.
Wow.
And she's known Serena for about 5 years, and I bet she's known Harry at least that.
So they had a blind date for sure. Their initial first date was followed by two back-to-back dates in London. And then Harry says it was about 3, maybe 4 weeks later.
Two back-to-back dates in London. Yeah. I'm going to fly you to London.
Yep.
She was in London.
She was there, and
she
so they got together.
There, right? Yeah.
So then he says that it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, he persuaded her to come and join him in Botswana, and they camped out with each other under the stars.
Oh, please.
She joined him for 5 days.
I wonder how hard he had to persuade her.
Like, I'm
not
sure. And then he said, so then we were really by ourselves, and that was crucial, so they really had a chance to get to know each other.
That's romantic. This is really like right out of a movie romantic.
It is fun, though, that she went on to talk about growing up in the United States, how she didn't really have the same understanding of the royal family. Mm-hmm. She said, now I really understand. She said, but I didn't really know much about him. And the first thing that she wanted to know when she was getting set up with him was, is he nice?
Yeah.
And she said, because if he wasn't kind, then it didn't seem like it would make sense, yes. Which I just love. I love that little injection of American rebellion against the royalty.
Listen, they went out in that private, that sunken garden this morning.
I know.
It was live on TV.
I know.
They deliberately did this on a Monday. And then 3 hours later, invited the BBC into the cottage.
Same.
And we played all that audio today. And they just were like beaming at each other, and she couldn't stop looking at the ring.
I know, which is so funny.
Remember that's when you got your ring, you couldn't stop looking at your ring?
It's just what we were talking about in the Twin Cities Live office. One of our producers said she can't stop looking at the ring, and I said, don't you remember when you first get engaged,
get your ring,
and you're just looking at it, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you get to wear this, and you kind of hold it out.
Yeah.
Make sure that you have a manicure on all times.
I would put it by the window, you know, so the sun could glint and get it. And you just
in your
rear
view mirror, you would put it there.
Well, and I was so grateful
totally
to my friend Jenna, who said 2 nights before I was getting engaged, she said, you have got to come with me. I'm going to Mexico. I need to get a pedicure. Will you come with me? And so she made sure that I had a manicure before I got engaged.
I love that.
Isn't that a thoughtful friend?
That was the first thing she did. She was spotted at the nail and brow salon on Friday when she got there.
Look, you guys, love took up my whole dirt alert. There is hope and joy in the world.
Yeah.
The holiday season is upon us.
And just like everyone else, Harry and Meghan are distant cousins.
Oh, for God's sake. I thought you were going to say, just like everyone else, they're first cousins.
No, we're all right. And speaking of, we got Kenny with the...
Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex for now.
All right, time to take notes. You might learn something.
That's right. Okay, so here's the deal. We're going to be at doing a Santa stop tomorrow at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater downstairs in the Comedy Room. We'd love to see you.
We do.
Come and say hi. We love our live shows and seeing everybody.
We do. We haven't been out since the fair, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
It's a while.
We had one.
Did we? Where was that?
Where?
Well, don't make us think.
I
feel like I could have sworn we had one because I remember getting the ads together for whatever it was.
You may be right.
It's just a blur of wonderful shows, but we do love our Chan show. Okay, so sex. Here's what we're going to learn today, Julia. Another day, another suggestion
another
on how
orgasm.
To be more successful at not dying alone. This is for the singletons out there.
How to be more successful. How not to burden your children get coupled up before it's too late.
This is kind of a good time of the year to be dating anyway. There's just a lot happening out there. People have dumped the people that needed to be dumped. And, you know, it's just there's opportunity for more people to introduce yourself. And maybe if you're
It's more social.
It's such a good social time of the year.
Yes,
so. This before you roll your eyes, I think this is a vaguely interesting one it is the what is something that people really love to do. We love to, you know, sleep, have sex, have a good job. We love food. We love
laughing.
Okay, so this is about food, and here's the thing. It's a dating site, and the 10 best foods to mention in your dating profile or your online dating back and forth talk.
This is so much. Okay, what are you supposed to say you like?
Julia, you'll get an increase in inbound. It was kind of amazing.
Ice cream.
No, it's kind of amazing. They found the number one thing will massively improve the amount of messages you get. It will double what you get.
You love
guacamole.
Meat. Oh, guacamole?
Guacamole.
How do you spell it? See, that would be a problem.
G-U-A-M-O-L-E.
We'll spell check.
I'm teasing, Donnie.
Yeah. 144% increase in message by mentioning guacamole.
Like, I'd like to spread guacamole all over.
However you want to use it.
I want to eat guacamole.
You can use it. This is for your dating profile or when you start flirting in a text and you want to use food, okay?
That always comes up.
Well, bananas.
I don't think it ever has, Lori.
Bananas will get you an increase in messages. Obviously. Ice cream will get you an increase in messages. French fries, potatoes will get you an increase. Chocolate. Sushi is pretty high up there if you meet a fellow sushi person. The old humble eggplant gets a little bit, but I feel like that's
the emoji.
Yeah, that's the emoji. And the bad food dimension, the bad food that gets no response, which really shocked me, was fried chicken.
Oh, I thought you were going to say salad. Oh,
fried chicken.
Oh, my gosh. The fried chicken is having a renaissance.
I know.
Look at revival.
I don't know, but anybody who's like a chicken connoisseur on Tinder, they're not going to get anywhere mentioning their love of fried chicken. They're getting no
KFC
responses.
Buckets.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just the fact, the mere whiff of the fact that you love food sends people into a frenzy. With those who say they're a foodie and those who talk about cooking receiving more messages. Now, I will say that this data and this information I got
is brought to you by food.
No, it's a heterosexual website, so it's not looking at anything. It's just like looking at all the straight ones.
I think it's universal, though, Lori.
Okay, well, maybe, but I'm just saying that the seven.
Here's why. If you say you're a foodie, I would assume, they cook. How nice is that?
Yeah.
You make a different assumptions around food.
All right. Profiles with the word foodie, even in the profile describing yourself, receive 82% more responses.
See, I think everybody.
Which is weird because I feel like I'd swipe the other direction on a foodie. Like I'd think, oh, God, they're going to be a pain in the ass about food. Because we all like food, but if you say foodie, this thing is showing people are getting more responses. So, and people who, now you'd think this would be the other way around, people who mention that they cook only get 26% more incoming. To me, I'd be more likely.
I'd be like, bing, bing, bing. And
but
if you
maybe
like to
foodie,
shop on top of it.
Here's what it is. If you say foodie, that means you like going out to eat.
Exactly.
And you like experiencing new restaurants. You're open-minded. Yeah. You're willing to try new things.
So people will think right away you're not some cheap bastard.
Right, because you're picking up the check.
Well, but it could be the woman, too. I mean, it could be the woman self-describing as a foodie, and the guy could
say, instead of living on $2 a day.
Yeah, right.
At Supermarket.
Right, okay.
I actually go to a restaurant.
So, but if you mention cooking in your opening message, Julia...
Why are you saying this to me?
I'm just...
For emphasis.
It's just for emphasis.
Oh, my God. I love food. Guacamole. I just...
Do it in your opening message.
Really?
No, don't say that you like to cook in your opening message?
No.
Your opening message should just be...
Unless your opening message is, I live for eggplant.
And banana.
Which can be taken many
ways. Banana and big potatoes. Then you're going to get...
I think the message is clear.
I want somebody to come up with that Tinder profile and report back
for
tomorrow.
I think that would be so fun if someone did.
Bananas and big potatoes.
Yeah, no, I mean, wouldn't that be funny? Oh, that'd just be come up with that. But anyway, so I don't know. It's just a little info to help you if you were looking to attract people.
Cheers. Try it and report back.
Yeah, let us know how that works out for you.
Mention of alcohol.
No.
I live for alcohol.
Well, you know, food everyone loves. You know, everyone has to eat. Not everyone has to drink.
This is so true.
Yeah.
God, you're wise.
I know. All right. So does being stoned improve your sex life? Have you wondered about that lately or ever in your life?
Never.
I have. Everybody's wondered. You've wondered and you've tried it and you've said yes.
That's what I was just going to say. Oh my God, Lori.
But there's been very little studies since the 70s or 80s about...
Because it's an illegal substance, no one does studies on it.
They do studies on it, but they have trouble getting funding for studying or whatever. So this study was published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine and it found that people... who smoked pot, it did not in any way have any negative impact on sexual function.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah, so that's the good news. But that's really all the studies. Would it negatively affect? And the answer is no.
But did it positively affect?
Well, they didn't have enough money for the rest of the study.
Try on their own.
Well, then,
well, I would. I think people could.
Well,
call
here's
in.
here's where the University of Italy and some university in the Czech Republic
have taken it one step further.
Yes, they found that half the people who they studied who were having sex while they were high on marijuana reported aphrodisiac effects and experienced 70% experienced sexual pleasure.
I think here's where it's going to go down the line. If being high is not your thing, you're going to hate it.
You're going to hate it no matter what.
You're going to hate it because you're going to overthink it. You're going to do whatever. Because if being high, you're just not a good high person, why would you even bother? This is not going to improve it. It's going to probably make everything worse. But if you are a good person, I mean, if you like to be high and that works for you, this would be great, I'm sure.
But Julia, now in the season time of marijuana, we're not talking about the 70s and 80s. Now people know the difference between sativa and adinka.
I don't know. Donnie, do you know the difference between those two? Because Lori is assuming we all do.
I thought those were natural sweeteners. Probably not.
It does. No. Adinka. No. I'd like to have an adinka.
No,
or give me the sativa.
Indica. Indica. It's called
okay,
indica.
Okay, I love better that you called it adinka.
No, indica. Indica.
No, adinka.
I know. Indica. Indica.
I want to order. I'm going to Seattle to order adinka.
No, but if you've been to Colorado
but not everybody has.
Okay, but I'm just telling you, indica. So this is where the studies are saying that from the 70s and 80s, because pot isn't the same anymore, the way they can grow it, there's two different strains, if you will. So sativa is in, affects the mind, and indica is more of a body high. So I always say,
pinky, when it gets stoned, it goes crazy.
No, but in if you get indica in the mouth, you're going to get the munchies in the mouth. Whereas sativa, you're going to be in the mind. So it just depends on what you want to be doing when you're doing things.
If you want it in the mouth or in the mind. You set yourself up so bad for that.
I was waiting for someone to catch on.
I have been catching on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, is
okay,
it time
but wait
to go?
A minute. What did we answer there? What do we know?
Well, we need sex.
We need money put towards research.
Yes, because we would like to help people get in the mood for in the mind.
Indica.
Indica is in the mouth. So if you just want to be eating.
In the mood, in the mind. In the club.
Yeah, and sativa is in the mind. So that is, anyway, but we need more research, Julia, because the University of California found that when mice were given pot, they started producing oxytocin like crazy around each other. They felt frisky. That's the last thing we know.
It's a good thing to know if it works in mice.
Okay, we'll be right back. Fire up the royal wedding machine. It's our favorite headline of the day. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are officially ignored. And this is the happiest we've ever been for two people we've never met in our lives, but we just couldn't be more giddy for them.
I'm so thrilled for
them. And thrilled for the gossip people everywhere that have just something fun and
exciting.
And she's an American and she's a biracial girl and
divorced.
She's divorced and her husband is doing a show about her and her half sister who she's never really met is writing a book about her. But in the end she's with the prince and they just seem so crazy. So this is a little audio from the BBC
that they did this morning.
Just did it this afternoon at 6 o'clock London time.
It's a standard, typical night
for
us.
It's a cozy night. It was what we're doing, just roasting chicken.
Trying to roast
a chicken. And it was just an amazing surprise. It was so sweet and natural and very romantic. He got on one knee.
Of course.
Was it an instant yes from you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I could barely let you finish proposing. I was like, can I say yes now?
She didn't even let me finish. She said, can I say yes, can I say yes now? And then there was hugs and I had the ring in my finger. And I was like, can I give you the ring? And she goes, oh, yes, the ring. So, no, it was a really nice moment. It was just the two of us. And I think I managed to catch her by surprise as well.
Yeah.
How did you first meet?
Yes, we first met. We were introduced, actually, by a mutual friend. who we will...
We should protect her privacy and not reveal too much of that.
And but it was literally, it was through her. And then we met once and then twice, back to back, two dates in London. Last July.
Yes.
Beginning of July. And then it was, I think, about 3, maybe 4 weeks later that I managed to persuade her to come and join me in Botswana. And we camped out with each other under the stars. We spent, she came and joined me for 5 days out there, which was absolutely fantastic. So then we were really by ourselves, which was crucial to me to make sure that we had a chance to get to know each other.
Yeah.
Camping under the stars in Botswana. It's like a Hallmark movie.
I know. And you know it wasn't, it was more glamping.
And that they weren't, that they haven't been engaged all this time, that no. This engagement just happened.
That's even sweeter.
Maybe all of her people were throwing away all the tabloids so she wouldn't read them, but no, I don't know.
Sweet, Lori. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
It really is. And everyone is delighted.
I know.
All right. Donnie, what other fun headlines?
All right, what do we have for you today? Jennifer Lawrence's future plans involve buying a farm and milking goats.
Doesn't every busy actress at one point say that?
They just want to get away from it all.
They just want to get away from it all.
And go back to the land.
Yes.
Work the earth.
And they just imagine that. Even David Cassidy, at the height of his fame, he said he just envisioned himself on a beach.
Right. They're so sick of people.
They just
They're
get
sick
so
of celebrity.
Busy.
She's a small town girl, I think, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, she is. But I think, you know, she's been in the celebrity world, and I bet she just wants to go and live a simple life.
And by the way, I am convinced... so hard that Serena Williams introduced Meghan Markle and
you
Prince
are?
Harry. I really...
probably never know.
I really, really am. And Meghan, yes, Serena introduced those two. It was her idea to set them up on a date. Like famous people
do. Did not say that.
No, but that's what happens in the famous people world, you know?
Yes.
It's not like you're just going out and, you know, well, who do you know and who do you know?
Right.
And Serena Williams... she's been friends with Meghan Markle since 2014.
All right.
And they became instant best friends, and they immediately bonded over good old-fashioned girly stuff. Now, if you have a friend that you bond like that, you're going to play the who-do-you-know game.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Meghan Markle, she will not be a princess. Her title will be most likely Duchess of Sussex.
Oh, Duchess of Sussex. Yeah. It's such a sad thing for the current Duchess of Sussex that she's going to have to give it up.
I don't know there is one right now.
I bet there is, and I bet the crown, the duchy is passing. I don't know. Duchess of Sussex is a tongue twister.
It is. A bit much, yes.
Yeah, but it sounds fancy.
It does, the Duchess of Sussex.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck and Lindsay Shookus, they were spotted out in L.A. over the weekend.
I will say this, at least Jennifer Garner doesn't make us look at pictures, the happy. I don't think Lindsay Shookus comes to the Thanksgiving dinner.
No, she didn't at all.
I think Ben comes and his mom comes. But the woman who was the affair three years ago is not coming to dinner.
No, because they didn't come. They struggled.
They overlapped. They overlapped. He was full on married to her when he was carrying on with her, staying at the Carlisle.
It's not going to happen.
She's
right
never
now.
Coming over, hashtag modern family.
Well, we don't know.
All right.
You never know.
Okay.
Lastly, Oprah had a fabulous Thanksgiving party and then served turkey hash for breakfast.
Oh, well, isn't that what one
that
does
with good.
Leftovers? Probably some broccoli in there. Now it's starting to turn into turkey Devon.
Yum.
Does anyone have any turkey leftovers left?
No.
Yes.
Oh, you do?
I froze
them. All right, listen, we will see you at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. We're going to be broadcasting there
tomorrow.
It's a Santa stop. We'll be downstairs in the Comedy Theater. Hope you can.